Morning, church. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priests of our confessions, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, in as so much as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In the day of trial and wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation. And said they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through this deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence and steadfast to the end, while it is said. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry? 40 years. Was it not of those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It's the word of God.
Amen. Thank you. First verse of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says this: therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider Jesus. To the Hebrews, who in this case were in the diaspora, who'd been scattered, some from Jerusalem already, but who were in Rome particularly being persecuted mercilessly, who were being overwhelmed by Nero's persecution, where they were being put in front of crowds cheering as they were being ripped apart by animals and set alight for the pleasure of the Roman crowds. These are the Hebrew Christians this was written to. And many were suffering. Many had begun to say, is it worth it? And were drifting away. He said, don't do that. Don't drift. The prize is bigger than this. And then he comes to verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. And he says, consider Jesus. It's a beautiful chorus that we sing, a beautiful hymn that I'm going to ask the worship team to help us lead and sing at this stage as we come to consider Jesus. It's simple. It's the words, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And then it says, when I am alone and I'm on my own, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, when I'm walking through that valley of the shadow of death, give me Jesus. Stay seated. Sing if you know the words, but let's consider Jesus as we come to this passage this morning. Consider him, Jesus, our high priest. Lightning there to wake us all up as well as we get going. That was precious. Give me Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Look at that verse again. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Thursday at Count Your Blessings, we ask the question, what does it mean to be partakers of the heavenly blessing? There's a lovely answer. Someone said, well, there's something about eternity. We become partakers of forever. And someone else said, it's as if we will see our loved ones again. when we come to come to the presence of heaven, we will partake and we will see those who have gone before us. We'll see too the incredible and the amazing saints who have walked our way. We may be able to stop and say to Pastor Charles Spurgeon, you know, I was at East Hill. Thought about that. Partakers of heaven. What is it going to be like? And someone also said, we will praise him. We will be able to praise him forever. Those are good answers that day on Thursday. We will be partakers of heavenly things. And as we come to communion in a moment, in a while, we'll be again touching, tasting, partakers of heavenly things, because we consider Jesus our Lord and our Savior. What does it mean too that he's our apostle? Have you ever thought about that? I hadn't seen that. And Bob and I were going along one day and talking as we do, and Bob was saying, you know, he looked it up, he said apostle, another Greek reference to apostle is commissioner, like Brother Guy was the high commissioner. And Jesus was the commissioner from heaven, the ambassador, if you will, the great ambassador, showing us the way back to heaven. I like that as well. But mostly he was our high priest. And when we consider Jesus today, firstly, we need to consider that he is our high priest. Not that he was our high priest, that he is risen and living and seated at the right hand of the Father today and is our high priest. And we consider that and we ask the question, well, what was it about the high priest? What was it that the high priest did that was so unique, so special? And there were a number of things about the high priest. He had authority, had responsibility. There was a lot of stuff that he had to do. But fundamentally, the high priest had one critical, unique calling in the year, and that came at the time of Yom Kippur, which means the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the high priest had to be cleansed, and he had to have innocent blood sprinkled on him, and he took innocent blood, and only him, only he was allowed to represent us to enter the Holy of Holies within the heart of the tabernacle or the temple as it was established. And only the high priest could walk in. And they used to tie a rope around his leg in case there was something the high priest had done where he wasn't clean properly, and the holiness of God would strike him dead. A little bit like the guy that touched the ark. You remember that? Well, they had a rope because they couldn't go and get him in case he fell dead and was struck dead. But he went to represent us, our high priest, with the blood and sprinkled it where? On the mercy seat. Within the Holy of Holies. And Christ Jesus, as we consider him, is our high priest. That's the incredible thing. Now think about this. The Hebrews are under incredible persecution. The Hebrews, it's a letter to those, especially in Rome, are being burnt alive. Their children are being ripped apart by wild animals because they believe in Jesus Christ. And they will not denounce him. Their leaders, Paul, Peter, their great leaders are being persecuted, are being executed, are being crucified upside down. And the Hebrews are suffering incredible persecution. And some are falling away and some are drifting away. And the letters to them. And what is it saying to them? And in some ways, we also feel under pressure in the modern age. Sometimes we feel we're struggling with so many issues. We're struggling with so many fundamental struggles in our own life. Some of us are feeling critically lonely or broken or we're hurting in ways we can't even describe, because pressure of life is sitting on us so hard. And we're feeling, without even knowing it, persecuted by life. And what is the message of the Hebrews to us in that respect? It's this. Consider Jesus Christ, your high priest. That's the message. Now look at this. It's really interesting. If you look at the whole core of the book of Hebrews, Dr. Haddon Robinson used to say to us at Denver Seminary, you know, he wrote that incredible book, Biblical Preaching, Exegetical Preaching, and he said, you've got to find not what you want to bring into the passage, but what's in the passage, the core. And he used the term the big idea of the passage, the big idea of the book. And he said, once you excavate that, once you see it and get it and wrestle and find it, that is where your focus must be when you share it with those, especially in preaching, that it's biblically focused on the big idea of what the author was trying to say. Well, this is what he said. Just waiting for the sound to get sorted out. Thank you. Sorted, thank you. So this is what he said. He said this. He said, when you get the big idea and you find it, preach it. Share it. Focus on it. And so here he did. He comes to here, the book of Hebrews. Now follow with me as we go. Look at these verses. He comes to verse 2. It starts with the word therefore. I want to get back into the sermon here. I want to get focused. He gets into the word therefore. And the word therefore is a connective. It's a word that connects. And it's connecting forwards and it's connecting backwards. Now to understand Hebrews, we've got to understand this incredibly grammatical method of writing the book of Hebrews. There's no other book in the New Testament that is like this, that connects forwards and connects backwards. And it's really important that if we're going to understand Hebrews, if we are going to go away today having taken something from this message and understand what the author of Hebrews is saying, we've got to try and understand what it is he's pointing to throughout the whole passage, throughout the whole book of the book of Hebrews. And it starts in verse 1 of chapter 2. And you see, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. Now look at what he starts with in verse 1 of chapter 3. Look at the connective there. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers. Now go over to chapter 4, verse 1, and let's see what the word is that he starts with there. Therefore, since a promise remains. And we move across to chapter 5, verse 1. Now, for and therefore are almost simultaneously. Here it says, for, or another way of saying that is, therefore, every high priest taken from among men. And then we go to chapter 6, and what does it say in chapter 6, verse 1? It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles. And then again in chapter 7, he's connecting it. Therefore, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham. And now he comes to chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is what he's saying. Look what he says at chapter 8, verse 1. It's been therefore connecting the thoughts. Therefore, chapter 3, connecting partakers, consider Jesus. Therefore, chapter 4, consider high priests. Therefore, chapter 5, consider Melchizedek. Therefore, all the way down to chapter 8, verse 1. And this is what he says to them. And this is what they see. This is what they grasp. Now, it's no longer therefore. It's no longer connecting. It's now, verse 1 of chapter 8. This is the main point of the things we are saying. This is the big idea of the book. This is the main idea of the whole book of Hebrews. And the question is, what is it? Hebrews, while you suffer, Hebrews, while you're being devastated, while you're being torn apart, while you're being discouraged, Christians at East Hill Baptist Church, while you're being overwhelmed by the pressures of life and by the pressures and the news from all around the world, and you're feeling overwhelmed sometimes. What is the message of Hebrews to you today, right now? And it's this. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary. Remember, his role was to go and plead our forgiveness in the Holy of Holies, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord has erected and not man. In other words, we have not only a high priest who represents us in the sanctuary, we have a superior high priest, a great high priest, a high priest who ministers on our behalf in the sanctuary of heaven. Wow. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews was saying. He's saying, when you see this, when you consider this high priest, he will carry you through the trials that you are following right now. He is a great high priest, a superior high priest. And the book of Hebrews' main idea, big idea, is consider him our superior high priest, seated in authority, but ministering in the tabernacle of heaven that God has built, not man, for us. For us, he brings the sacrifice. Wow. When we see that, when we understand that, when we get that, we begin to understand, he's saying this, if you need sustenance for your struggle, if you need help in your daily walk as a Christian, if your faith is starting to slide, if you're feeling you're starting to drift away, consider Jesus your high priest. He is there ministering for you and for me. In that context, you can stand the pressure. In that context, you can stand on the day of adversity. You can carry the fire that's coming on you, because Christ is your high priest. Consider him. In the morning when you rise, give me Jesus. When you are alone and when we are alone in the day, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. There's so much more in this book. There's so much more. But I want us to know this, that he not only, as we connect, go forward, and we're going to look at this very quickly, is our high priest. We see, connecting, going back, he is our captain. And I just want us to look at that, because therefore connects forwards, but it also connects back. And when you connect back to chapter 2, we were looking at it last week briefly, the whole chapter, but look at this. As we connect back to this incredible verse. Look at verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Now look at this. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He's not only our high priest, he's our captain. And just yesterday, as we were watching, incredible sport yesterday, incredible rugby yesterday, and I was watching the South African game in the afternoon, playing against Wales, and Wales played one of the most incredible test matches I have ever seen in my life. They were on fire, they were strong, they were determined, and they met arguably one of the strongest, the world champions in rugby, with such incredible skill and determination that they rocked the world champions. The world champions, South Africa at that time, were 18-3 down at half time, and it didn't look like they would recover at all. But then the story of two captains unfolded in the second half. And the Welsh captain is full of vigor, full of youth, full of excitement, but a little bit overzealous, a little bit inexperienced. Came so hard that right at the critical moments of the game, he made a mistake and he was sent off the field. So that Wales had to play the rest of the game at a critical stage without the captain. The South African captain, Siya Kolisi, experienced to stay focused, to stay on target. And at the critical moment, in the dying minutes, seconds of the game, South Africa kicked a conversion to win in the most incredible test matches I've watched in a long time. What made the difference was the captain. And if the Welsh captain had kept his cool and stayed on, I don't think South Africa would have won. I really don't. But what we know is that we have a captain who is not going to be sent off the field because he is sinless. He will not be judged and excluded because there is nothing on heaven and earth that can exclude him because he is righteous. And we have a captain who will not be sent off the field while we are in the most crucial moments of our lives. He will be there right with us, encouraging us, standing next to us, and making the difference between losing our faith and winning our faith. Jesus is our high priest. He's our captain. He's also, the Bible tells us, our builder. And we see that he is the builder. He has built, and he is building a living church, and we are the living stones. And he is the architect and the builder, and he's building us to his glory. And so when we come now to communion, and we participate in communion, what we're saying is this: we're all members of the congregation. We're not all members of the church, so only the church members who kind of have that gone to that next level. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet afterwards. But we're all members of the congregation. But the real membership that we need to be signed up to beyond anything else is the membership of the living church of Jesus Christ. And you know, it's really interesting. When they built that temple and they built Solomon's temple, they never carved the stones. Do you know that? The stones were matched to fit. A little bit like in Zimbabwe, there's a beautiful area called the Great Zimbabwe from way, way, way back in African history, from before politics, before Zimbabwe. It was way back, but they'd got the bricks and they'd matched the bricks and the structure fits together without cement. And the temple was built like that. They didn't carve the stones. They bought the stones uncarved. The stones were carved by nature, by God's hands, and they were fitted together to be a solid structure. Well, we are like those stones. We are the living stones. And it's not the world that's forging us and making us. It's not the system that makes us who we are. It's God's hand that has made us, that's formed us from the womb. Before we were even born, he was forming us. And he's making us to be in his image to reach our potential. And we as a living stone come into the congregation of the church. And he fits us in. He puts us right at that place where we fit. And that's what's so encouraging about the church. Is we all are our own individual selves forged, shaped by God, the Holy Spirit, and we put together. And some of us can't fit where the other person fits. But together we become this living church, a lighthouse for Christ. High priest, our captain, our architect and builder.